Welcome to Breaking News to Trading Moves. We're looking at a classic market puzzle today. What happens when news that seems good for bonds might be a little less great for the broader economy? The event really driving things these past few days is this new evidence of a cooling U.S. jobs market. And that cooling has really sped up the bets that the Federal Reserve will start adjusting rates, you know, much sooner than people thought.
Right. And traders are now almost fully pricing in a 25 basis point adjustment at that final meeting of 2025.
That's a big move in expectations.
It is. And their anticipation is really the key. The nuance here is so important. The main data point was that private payrolls release, the one from ADP.
And it showed a drop, right?
A drop of 32,000 in November. That's the largest contraction we've seen since early 2023.
So what is the market reading into that?
Well, it's reading that if the Fed does act, it's because of softer economic growth.
What?
It's because of weakening labor demand. It's not a celebratory move from a position of strength.
So we're not talking about the Fed is cutting because the economy is booming. It's more like the Fed is cutting because the engine is starting to sputter.
Precisely. And that framing changes everything. Cuts that are driven by weakness, well, they imply very specific risks and very specific winners.
And that creates a clear rotation in capital.
Exactly.
So that's what we're going to do today. We'll look at the immediate market reaction and then try to identify which sectors, which companies stand to gain or lose when you have lower rates coupled with softer jobs data. Let's see where the money is going. Okay, so the moment the data hit, the bond market moved. And it moved fast.
It did.
The two-year Treasury yields, which are always the most sensitive to Fed policy, they slipped to about 3.48%.
That is a powerful move. And whenever you see that kind of drop in U.S. rate expectations, the currency market has to respond.
And it did. The dollar had one of its worst days since September.
Yep, because that lower relative rate just makes the dollar less attractive. Money flows out when that perceived yield advantage starts to fade.
Okay, now here's the part that feels a little strange. Even with these worries about soft growth, the S&P 500 actually edged higher. I think roughly 350 names posted gains. But, and this is the key, some of the biggest, you know, the mega cap tech companies, they actually lagged. So how does that work?
That tells you everything. It's all about sector rotation. When the market prices in lower rates, even if it's because of economic softness, it gives this immediate valuation boost to certain kinds of assets.
So it's not a rising tide for everyone?
Not at all. It triggers this rotation. Assets that benefit from cheaper long-term borrowing costs, or whose valuations are really sensitive to the discount rate, they suddenly look much more attractive than, say, the companies that have already done well in a high-rate world.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's start with the beneficiaries then. The first group has to be housing and home builders. That seems like a pretty direct line.
It's extremely direct. Mortgage rates are basically tethered to longer-term Treasury yields, especially the 10-year.
So if the market believes the Fed is done hiking, those borrowing costs for consumers should come down.
And that provides tremendous stability. Remember when rates were soaring, it just crushed demand. You had that lock-in effect.
Where no one wanted to move and give up their low mortgage rate.
Exactly. So lower rates stabilize demand for new construction, which supports the builders' order books. But you also have to remember the builders themselves are huge debtors.
Right. They have massive capital needs.
So companies like Lennar, that's ticker L-E-N, and D.R. Horton, ticker D-H-I, lower financing costs help them manage their own debt. It's a shot of adrenaline to their margins.
So home builders are the clear winners. What about institutional real estate? I'm thinking about real estate investment trusts or REITs.
Yes, REITs and other high-duration yield plays. When rates were climbing, all we heard was doom and gloom about them.
Because they're basically bond proxies. Right?
The ultimate bond proxies. They have these large, predictable cash flows from rent, kind of like a fixed income asset. So when Treasury yields fall, the math just flips entirely. The future value of all those rental payments, it gets discounted at a lower rate, which naturally just supports their current valuations. It makes those future rents worth more today.
Okay, but let me push back on that for a second. If the jobs market is getting softer, shouldn't we worry about those rental cash flows too? You know, tenants might struggle to pay?
That is a critical question. And this is where quality becomes the most important word. The market isn't just rewarding every REIT out there.
So it's selective.
Very. It's favoring the quality investment grade REITs, the ones focused on essential services, industrial logistics, properties with really high credit tenants. Think about names like Prologis, that's PLD.
They're in industrial logistics.
Right. Or a name like Realty Income, ticker O, which is known for its really consistent dividend. For them, lower financing costs and easing inflation pressure are a net positive.
So stability of cash flow is what matters right now.
Yeah.
Let's pivot from physical assets to tech. You mentioned quality software and cloud names, but specifically outside the most crowded megacaps.
Yes, and this is purely a mathematical dynamic. It's all about discounted cash flow.
These are the long-duration assets you hear about.
Exactly. Subscription software businesses have great margins, but a lot of their profit is way out in the future, 5, 10 years from now. A lower for longer rate path just boosts the present value of all those distant cash flows.
It's a tailwind for their stock price, even if their operations don't change at all.
Precisely. And this is where the market starts looking past the headline AI stocks. It becomes more of a quality growth trade.
So investors are moving out of names, price for perfection.
Yes, and they're prioritizing companies with rock-solid, predictable subscription revenue that just looks even better when the cost of money goes down. We saw Salesforce, ticker CRM, its solid outlook supported this.
And Adobe, maybe. ADBE.
Adobe is a perfect example. That Creative Cloud subscription model is exactly the kind of durable growth that falls right into this winner's column.
Okay, so clear picture there. Money moving into housing, quality real estate, and subscription tech. Now let's flip it. Who gets hurt when a rate cut is driven by a soft labor market?
Well, the first place to look is big banks and traditional lenders.
They're so sensitive to the yield curve.
Extremely. When the Fed cuts rates because of economic weakness, the market worries about two things at once. First, it compresses their net interest margins.
That's the spread between what they earn on loans and pay on deposits.
Right, their core profit engine. When short-term rates drop, that engine just shrinks.
And the second risk has to be about the economy itself.
It is. The second risk is that this soft jobs data leads to higher unemployment. And higher unemployment means more defaulted loans, which means higher credit costs.
So they have to set aside more money for reserves.
The tailwind banks had from peak interest rates is just seen as disappearing fast. And that's going to put pressure on lenders like JPMorgan Chase, ticker JPM, and Bank of America, BAC.
It's a double squeeze. Lower margins, higher credit risk. Okay, what about another financial group? Life insurers and annuity providers.
Their entire business model is built on long-term yields. They get premiums from customers, and then they have to reinvest that money into longer-term, higher-yielding bonds.
They need to earn that spread income to cover the returns they promised.
And when the market starts thinking a cutting cycle is coming, their whole calculation changes overnight. Any new money they get or any bonds that mature now have to be reinvested at lower yields.
Lower than they had planned for.
Much lower. And that creates immediate pressure. It makes it harder to deliver on those guaranteed returns.
So companies like MetLife, MET, or Prudential, PRU, would feel that.
They're the prime examples, yes.
Okay, finally, let's go back to tech. You said earlier that the megacap AI and platform leaders actually lagged. Why would they suffer in this rotation when so many other stocks went up?
It's really a mix of valuation and uncertainty. These names are, incredibly highly valued. They've been the focus of really crowded trades all year.
All driven by the AI narrative.
Right. So when growth concerns start to creep in, investors often look to lock in some of those gains. They rotate out of the most expensive stocks and into some of the cheaper cyclicals we talked about, like housing.
Can you give a specific example of that uncertainty?
Sure. Take Microsoft, ticker MSFT. It dropped, and part of the reason was some emerging chatter about softer than expected demand for its premium AI tools.
Suggesting the adoption curve isn't just a straight lineup.
Exactly, and that challenges its valuation. Then you have the geopolitical factor hitting names like NVIDIA, NVDA. Their CEO was flagging uncertainty about U.S. export rules.
Right, whether China would even accept their new H200 chips.
Exactly. And that kind of uncertainty, when you pair it with an astronomical valuation, it's just a prompt for investors to move capital somewhere a little more stable.
A very clear breakdown. So
Yeah.
to summarize, we're seeing capital flow away from financials, banks, and insurers, and away from the most expensive megacap tech. And it's flowing toward those rate-sensitive areas like housing, REITs, and quality subscription software.
The takeaway for you listening is that the market is clearly preparing for deceleration, not continued acceleration. The question for you to consider is this: how much of this softness in the jobs market is already priced into the losers?
And what's the tipping point?
That's it. At what point does the slowdown become so pronounced that the market stops treating it as just a growth scare and starts treating it as a full-blown recession warning? That's where the next major market move is going to be found.
Thank you for joining us for this analysis. This discussion is purely the opinion of the author and is not financial advice or recommendation to buy or sell any security.